Adults talking to imaginary friends. All right, 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop will be here. Also, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Apparently, this is called P-U-P-U. Apparently, it's pronounced. I didn't want to believe it was the case. Apparently, it is pronounced poo-poo. And I guess it's like a Hawaiian appetizer thing. Take this call, and we're never talking about it again. Dale, hello.
Yes, I'm not going to talk about daylight savings time, but I used to work up in St. John's, Newfoundland. I traveled between Portland and St. John's once a month, and their time is 30 minutes off from the rest of the world.
Where?
St. John's, Newfoundland.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like St. John's, Portland. I was just going to say they can't afford batteries there. That's why
They're 45 minutes off.
Yeah, but no one cares.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, Newfoundland. All right, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, kneel before him. He is your president, prophet, seer, and revelator.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
What? Police in Vancouver have detained a person of interest in connection with last weekend's shooting of that small southeast Portland market. The man taken into custody on Mill Plain Boulevard in Umatilla Way last night. Investigators said the recently released surveillance photo from the market led them to this person of interest. He looks just like the photo. I'm interested in seeing him beaten. Police said the man is being held in Vancouver Central Precinct. He hasn't been charged with anything yet. How come I can't talk to him? The man's identity has not been released.
Would you like some dairy products to help you speak?
No, it's
okay. I'll give you a nice clean mouth.
I'm sure.
It'll clean me out well.
41-year-old Chester Yeom was shot at the Belmont Grocery Sunday night. Police say they believe he was shot during an apparent robbery while watching the store for a friend. Witnesses say they heard gunfire and saw a young man running from the store. And apparently when this guy was stopped, he was not driving that orange Vette that the getaway person allegedly drove off in, so... we have no idea exactly where they got that from. But he's being held right now.
All right, so he's
being questioned.
He's being interrogated or questioned or whatever it is right now. Well, I mean, I hope it is the guy just thinking this, have the whole thing. So this is just depressing. The whole thing is kind of freaky.
Well, the FBI is guilty of serious misuse of the power to secretly obtain private information under the Patriot Act.
No.
Yes, the Justice Department Inspector General looked at the FBI's use of national security letters, which are also known to them as NSLs, in which agents demand personal and business information about individuals such as financial, phone, internet records. Without court order, the audit found the letters were issued without proper authority, citing incorrect statutes or obtained information they weren't supposed to. As many as 22% of the national security letters were not recorded either. We concluded that many of the problems we identified constitute serious misuse of the FBI's national security letter authority. That from Inspector General Glenn A. Fine. The audit said there was no indication that the FBI's use of the letters constituted criminal misconduct. The FBI has made as many as 56,000 requests a year for information.
I'm sure that they're all on the up and up.
Using the Patriot Act as an excuse for that. Meanwhile, the FBI's director, Robert Mueller, accepts responsibilities for these problems.
So this process, as it should be, is a way to assure appropriate oversight in how we use this critical tool for protecting the American public.
Is that an apology?
I don't know. But apologizing after there's that phrase, closing the door, the barn, and the horse, and the whatever. Mm-hmm. That's just like when you're constantly banging cocktail waitresses, and then you come home and you do, well, I'm sorry. What are you going to do, honey? I shouldn't have done that. And then she cries and forgives you, and then you do it again the next week, knowing that you can just come back home and apologize again. That sort of seems to be, this is the cocktail waitress banging of the intelligence community.
Yes. Mueller stressed the importance of being able to conduct comprehensive counterterrorism investigations.
But it's equally important that as we exercise these authorities, we do it consistent with the privacy protections and civil liberties that we in the FBI are sworn to uphold.
But what about those 56,000 times he just didn't?
Well,
that's like, really, that's 1,000 times a week for a year. That's more than 1,000 times a week. That 56,000 times over the course of a year is 1,000 a week. That's like 130 times a day. That's 5 an hour.
Well, they have to keep people busy in there.
That's one every 12 minutes.
That's one every 12 minutes, every day, every week, every month of the entire year that they're busy doing. You think at some point somebody go, hey, what are you steaming opening that mail for? I have no reason. Well, okay. Carry on then. That's exactly, well, there you go. Civil liberties are un-American. Apparently, 90% of the letters were used to access telephone records. Let's see here. The Inspector General's review identified 26 possible intelligence violations between 2003 and 2005, 19 of which the FBI reported to the Presidential Intelligence Oversight Board. Why do all these numbers differ? For different things.
I don't know. I'm sure it's not an attempt to confuse you.
And 22 were the results of FBI errors out of the 26. The 26 was.
How did an error? They accidentally fell into your mailbox. Somebody tripped and fell into your mailbox, ripping open all of your letters and then holding them up to the light to read them.
Yeah. Mr. Mueller is pressed about the issue of trust.
Congress and the American people should have a lot of trust in the FBI. But occasionally, there are areas where we need to admit mistakes that we've made. This is one of them. Areas where we should have done a better job. This is one of them.
Okay. Meanwhile, former House Speaker Newt Gingrich is owning up to having an extramarital affair, as he led the charge against President Clinton during his affair with Monica Lewinsky, and says, yes, he had an affair during that time. He made the admission during a radio interview on Focus on the Family's James Dobson's program, apparently.
I asked you if the rumors were true that you were in an affair with a woman, obviously who wasn't your wife, at the same time that Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky were having their escapade.
Well, the fact is that the honest answer is yes.
Well, there you go. So reports of affairs have dogged him for years as a result of two messy divorces, but he refused to discuss them publicly.
Yeah, the best part is how he divorced his second wife while she was in the hospital battling cancer.
Yeah,
that man's all taste.
That's his second wife, Marion, in 2000, after his attorneys acknowledged that Gingrich's relationship with his current wife, Calista Bizek, a former congressional aide, more than 20 years younger than he is, was going on while she was dying of cancer.
Yeah. Look, I know that you got no hair and your bones are turning to dust, but could you sign this so I can bang this 20-year-old girl? Thanks. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Although Gingrich says he doesn't remember it, Batley, that's his first wife, Batley, Jackie Batley.
Batley sounds like some sort of a detective sidekick from a 1940s Hanna-Barbera cartoon. Batley, quick, to the justice wagon.
Her name was Jackie Batley.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh. She has cancer.
Or did. Cancer.
Not now.
I guess she's still alive.
Yeah, well.
And then he married the second woman, Marion, months after that divorce. There were times when I was praying, and when I felt I was doing things that were wrong.
Please don't let me be caught. Thank you.
And I was still doing them. I look back at those periods of weakness and periods that I'm, well, not proud of.
All right.
Gingrich's congressional career ended in 1990, and I guess he's trying to make some comeback.
He's talking about running with Lisa Goddard. We said that she hears from his people a lot right now. Yeah, thank you, Scotty. Scotty is occasionally muted. Scotty is typing the text of Newt Gingrich. Please don't let her get pregnant. Please let her get her period this week. Please let that trip to Tijuana have the expected result. Lisa Goddard was saying that she hears from Newt Gingrich's people all the time right now that they're trying to soften up the ground for a 2008 presidential run, which is insane. He'll never be elected, ever, ever, ever. He couldn't be elected anything. He couldn't become the mayor.
What about Ann Coulter as his running mate?
If you could elect, look, and I don't personally dislike Newt Gingrich. I don't think he ever did anything to me. And I do like the fact that he does have sort of a zestful, mischievous evil about him. As opposed to some of the other guys who are just dull and stupid. In Newt Gingrich, at least, you get the sense that he has fun being a terrible person. And so I can at least sort of admire. I can respect that. I can admire the fact that he just embraces his evil nature and he's sort of a fun-loving version of Dick Cheney. You know what I mean? Like he'd sort of offer you a cigarette and share a joke with you as he's like kicking you in the nuts somewhere, like in a basement, interrogating you. But he'll never be elected. It'll never happen. Because he's just a lingering embarrassment of the fact that the Republicans just bungled everything so spectacularly after they took control of the Congress in 94. He's a living, breathing albatross around the Republican Party in that sense. And again, I'm not speaking for blaze of ideology. I'm just saying he can never be elected. And he's twice divorced. And he's an adulterer at least twice. And he divorced his second wife while she was undergoing chemotherapy. I mean, there's just a... he makes Giuliani look like an electable candidate. So, yeah, that's not ever going to happen. It is worth noting that he confessed all of this to James Dobson, who's sort of a Fred Phelps-type nutcase, on his radio program, and this is how you can tell that Gingrich is planning to run for president. That he didn't confess it to a neutral or hostile party. He didn't confess it to some guy on CNN who was going to, like, press him about it. He didn't confess it to a news person of any kind. He confessed it to James Dobson, who is a sympathetic ear, who, of course, would, you know, so he can get it out there and attempt to defuse it, like Barack Obama did with his revelation that he used cocaine, get it out there and try to defuse it, and then hopefully have it be less of an issue when he runs for president, which he almost certainly will, even though he's not going to win anything. Secondly, you got to wonder why this didn't come out during... We lived through some weird stuff in the last 30 years. Like, you wonder why this didn't come out when... Do you remember when Larry Flint was offering like $1 million if you could prove that you were banging or being banged by a Republican lawmaker?
Yes.
You got to wonder why this didn't come out then. Whatever he was giving that woman must have been more than Larry Flint was offering. Because remember, like, Bob Livingston and all those guys got outed by Larry Flint, who had the, you know, details of their... what did James Dobson call? Sexual escapades. So there you go. Newt Gingrich. Big hypocritical fat bastard. All right.
Meanwhile, we have Congressman John Murtha answering Republican criticism of the Democrats' plan to withdraw our U.S. troops from Iraq by the fall of 2008. At a Capitol Hill news conference, the House Minority Leader John Boehner said Democratic proposals amount to a failure at any cost. Murtha tells the Today Show that Boehner didn't address the issue and is trying to divert attention to what the Democrats are really, truly trying to do.
They don't say anything about equipment. They don't say anything about training. It's going to be worse, and the Democrats are causing a problem. What's causing a problem is the overly optimistic predictions they're making.
All right.
Meanwhile, he stays on the Today Show and talks about the Democratic bill for withdrawing troops from Iraq, which is going to be very, very tough.
It's a bill that moves us in the right direction, and then we'll work our way through the committee, we'll work it through the House, and then we'll negotiate with the Senate for a bill that will reduce the cost of this war and reduce the war itself.
Yeah, what is it? In Iraq, we just need this. The direction we need in Iraq is like your thing about Vancouver. There just needs to be a big sign that says out. There just needs to be a big, like in a video game, just a big blinking arrow hanging up in the sky that points towards an exit and just says, this way to leave. That's really it, man. All right.
Meanwhile, Slate.com taking the heat about an article entitled The Four Unspeakable Truths, What Politicians Won't Admit About Iraq. Of course, number one was the war was a mistake, and there are other things. The victims are as much as heroes as the victors, and lost lives in Iraq have been lives wasted. And finally, America is losing and has already lost the Iraq war.
Oh, I know that everybody piled on Barack Obama, 10, 12 days ago because he made that remark about wasting the lives of the soldiers. Everybody sort of piled on him, saying what a horrible thing that was to say. And John McCain actually made this exactly the same comment, I think without incident, without uproar. John McCain said that same thing 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, it does really seem like we're winning. That really, Iraq is sort of the booby prize at this point. There is a whole lot of nothing there left to win. So, all right, here's Tim Riley.
A container believed to be holding 1 ounce of uranium yellow cake has been recovered at a Central Florida pawn shop. The fire officials retrieved the container with uranium yellow cake.
How much can I get for this and this toaster oven?
It came from a gold mine pawn shop in Bellevue. The container was a lead cylinder with markings that the contents are radioactive. The owner of the pawn shop said the container was kept in a box and had been in the storage area. This is being purchased from an out-of-state sale about 20 years ago.
I don't understand.
It's been in the pawn shop for 20 years.
Because it must have been marked up to an unreasonably high price. I don't understand. And it was just in a box?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. One of these so-called boxes doesn't really protect you from uranium. That's genius. And I love the idea that a guy in Florida, and it has a big radioactive symbol on the front of it.
Yeah.
And what should I do with this to protect me from the harmful rays contained therein? Well, do you have a bag of some kind? Yes, I do. Well, there you go. You're all set. And that it was, who would he have bought that from? Who would have been selling uranium 20 years ago?
That's
the Soviet
question, isn't it?
Yeah, this is one thing now. The Soviet Union implodes, and apparently you can buy uranium like at any, you know, right next to the bag of potatoes in Leningrad, but... I'm really unclear. I mean, it is Florida, but I mean, I'm unclear about where the... thank you. I'm unclear about where it exactly would have come from. Well, okay, fantastic. There you go. I missed my chance to buy it. That's what really bums me out.
Oh, so here's a little bit more on that serial robber caught in Vancouver. They believe the man in custody, also responsible for the Belmont grocery store, is also behind 10 other armed robberies stretching across the Portland-Vancouver metro area. His name is Jimmy Cashy, like the serial. He is described as a serial robbery suspect. It links him to one armed robbery in Vancouver, three in Beaverton, seven in Portland. And the robbery stretched back to January 28th.
I'm surprised that he was able to pull off like 10 of those, especially seven in Portland without having some guy just blow him away. If there's somebody that, especially if they're all sort of, if it's not like 7-Elevens or whatever, if it's these
moments of 7-Eleven. Another one was a Plaid Pantry, another one was a Denny's.
Well, see, that might explain it then. If they're chain stores, and I don't know this to be true, but I would suspect chain stores are far less likely to have an armed proprietor behind the counter. If you're robbing just some mom and pop store, you know. And I hate to say this. I hate to engage in rash generalizations and stereotypes, but it is my experience as a resident of Portland that when you go into an independently owned convenience store that is owned by an Asian family, that they are like armed to the teeth. You try to screw with them, and you're going to go out in a bag.
Well, they remember the L.A. riots when Koreatown went up in flames.
Exactly.
They're not going to let it happen again.
Sort of a never again kind of a thing. Yeah, every time I've gone into an Asian store, man, and they don't make a secret of it. I mean, God bless them. You look behind the counter, and there's like a baseball bat with wrapped in tape, and then there's like 15 guns just sitting there. You try to screw with them, it could take you out of that store with a dustbuster. So, I mean, the Plaid Pantries and 7-Eleven to the world could do worse than to have some sort of a weapon behind the counter, because you could have put that guy down about 7 robberies ago.
So here's more on this. Apparently, they think his girlfriend is connected with this, and they found Cool cigarettes in her apartment, and it is noted that Cool cigarettes were stolen in the armed robberies.
Well, all right. Well, there you go. I'm sure Cool's happy to have that little bit of advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing to relax you after your boyfriend gets home from paralyzing a guy. Jesus.
Meanwhile, in happier news, a 50-year-old California woman charged with running a multi-million-dollar prostitution ring in D.C., scheduled to be arraigned in district court today. Deborah Palfrey is said to employ more than 138 college-educated women than a decade in a high-end adult service business.
That is just fantastic. I should have asked Lisa Goddard about this. Hold on, I'll ask her about this. What is this in D.C.?
Mm-hmm.
What's her name?
Let's see. Deborah Palfrey.
Deborah Palfrey.
Mm-hmm.
Palfrey. Now, this is she a separate woman from this woman in L.A. that came out of how she was having sex, or that Tommy Lasorda was coming and having sex with all of her girls?
After keeping half of the fee, cops say the woman sent Palfrey fees through a money order by way of a California post office box. So she had a post office box there.
Right.
Since her indictment, she has threatened to sell the names of her clients to help pay her legal costs.
Oh, that ain't right.
One of her lawyers says, this lady has no choice.
Deborah Jean does not want to make people's lives miserable as these client names start to come out, as the escort names start to come out over the next couple of weeks. But she's been put in a corner, and what else does she have to do? I mean, what else can she do?
Just pay him.
Yes. Exactly. Whatever happened to honor? Says that she lost me. She had me there for a minute, and now she lost me. It is understood that part of running an escort service or a business of prostitution is the one that does not reveal the name. Whatever happened to dignity and upholding the code of silence? Well, okay, I'm no longer in her corner on these things. All right, here's Tim.
Donald Trump is quickly narrowing the field of potential job candidates on his The Apprentice program. On the last episode of the NBC television program, the real estate mogul fired not one but two wannabes. Among them was 34-year-old attorney Derek, who angered Trump when he referred to himself as white trash. Darryl said he never thought the phrase would be that offensive.
I embraced it. I love bowling. I love deep-fried appetizers. I love, NASCAR. I love all things that are, stereotypically, quote-unquote, white trash. I don't see any negative connotation to it, especially when you're calling yourself that.
Is bowling white trash? I guess it sort of is. I guess it depends on where you do it. Scotty, you do Monte Carlo bowling, don't you?
Yes.
All right. Just checking. All right, here's fantastic. Here's Tim Riley.
Derek said he wanted to be on the show for the experience, not for a chance to work for Donald Trump.
Would I have liked to have won? Absolutely. Just for the sake of winning the competition. Would I have taken the job? I think for the sake of good TV, I probably would have told Trump, no, thank you, just to be that guy that, sort of turned him down for once.
Whatever.
But obviously I didn't get that opportunity because I have a big mouth.
Does anybody watch that show anymore?
No.
All right.
Anybody watch it? Network TV anymore?
I don't believe so. What's weird? Here's something I was thinking about last night. I was talking to somebody last night about, do you realize that network television, including our very own parent company of CBS, I said in Brent Musburger burger fashion, What's weird is to think that television is still broadcast over the air. I mean, are there people now that still watch television that comes in over the air in a sort of invisible ray that you can't, you know, that you can't see? I mean, everybody watches television on cable.
Well, they won't be able to. As soon as that digital stuff gets underway and all the analog channels go away, unless they buy a new TV.
It's just weird to think that there's actually still broadcast television. When I say broadcast television, I don't mean like satellite or coming out of the wall through the cable. I mean literally, like that there's some guy out there with rabbit ears behind his television, wiggling them this way and that to and fro, trying to watch Grey's Anatomy.
I mean, and it's too bad that you know, the scenery up in the hills there is blocked by these huge towers that they don't need.
Yeah.
Rip them down and go to cable.
Scott, the opinion of the news department. Rip them down. Destroy them now. Scotty's noting it was not just bowling last Saturday. It was Monte Carlo bowling. Is that where you gamble? Is that the Monte... Is that what it is? Is Monte Carlo, Carlo bowling? Yeah, it's where you... Yeah, it's like you're playing poker, but you're bowling with it. That's for adults. When you're a kid, the kid version of that is when you do that, like, cosmic bowling, where they, like, paint everything like day glow colors to try to keep you off the drugs. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, John Schneider, remember him? The Dukes of Hazzard. Now, of course, he's on that Smallville
part. He's a nutcase Christian, isn't he?
Apparently so. Now he's taking his war against Hollywood. He said there's a hole in true family entertainment, like it used to be with the Dukes of Hazzard. We know what a family program that was.
What with their smuggling of moonshine and staring at Daisy Duke's crotch.
He means there's a void of movies that can be seen by you, your children, and your parents.
There is an audience that wants to go see the same movie at the same time, a very broad audience from 5 years old to 75 years old. They do want to have something to talk about in the car on the way home. They will laugh at the same humor. It doesn't have to be crass and base and raunchy.
I thought there's lots of entertainment out there for them, like all these animated features.
No need to work blue. Oh, no, and have no doubt, by the way, that they do. There are families out there do want to watch movies together. How do I know this? Because when I went to see Zodiac, there was a bunch of goddamn children in the theater. It's an R-rated movie about a guy who shoots people in the face. A bunch of people bringing their goddamn toothless babies along. If you want to have children, that's fine. Keep them out of the theater while I'm trying to watch Zodiac. And unfortunately, I went to see that at Cinetopia, and it wasn't in the living room, because the living room is adults only. Where the rest of the rooms at Cinetopia are for all ages. And so there's people bringing their kids along to watch really what must be considered a truly horrifying and disturbing film about a serial killer. So that's how I know that it's good to see that family togetherness still survives in the heartland of Vancouver. Let's do a couple more here, and then we'll take a break.
Meanwhile, an Illinois man is charged with molesting three children and will not be allowed to visit Disney World during an upcoming court-approved family vacation. The judge approved Frank Atherton's request to travel to Florida last month, providing he submit an itinerary. But Associate Judge R. Craig Salston decided yesterday to reverse his decision. He said, quote, "I don't think it's appropriate." Atherton is charged with predatory sexual assault of three children.
No, I mean, Disneyland is sort of the Izzy's buffet for pedophiles, I would think. You don't want to do that. This is Sid. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick. I don't have cable, and I refer to as poor man's cable. I just get it over the air, but if you have an HD tuner, there's a bunch of extra channels you can get.
Including Tom Lankes' stool.
You have regular Channel 8, and then they have a backup channel, another channel that's just a weather channel. There's a...
that sounds exciting.
The Tube, which is all music videos.
Can I just tell you this right now? And I know that this makes me a bad employee of the entertainment and broadcast industries. But HD television is just confusing to me. The whole thing is confusing. I read some study the other day in the New York Times, like 45% of people who have HD televisions aren't watching HD programming but think they are. Some study, the New York Times did this, where they would like go to somebody's house, look at this fantastic HD television I have. And then it's like they would look at the way they had it set up, and it's like they were just watching regular crap over the air like everybody else, but they had just sort of, because no one can admit that they just blew $3,000 on a television that isn't working right or that doesn't really show. And who wants to watch everything in high definition anyway? Who wants to really watch every crevasse and hideous pore on the face? That's, have you noticed this? That's the selling point that they always use. Always with HD television, they do this thing with HD broadcast television. They say, no, it's fantastic. You can see every mole and wrinkle on Cameron Diaz's face. Well, who wants to watch that? What kind of porn would you possibly want to watch on that? I suppose, but I mean, I'll take the regular television where things are fuzzy and women look hot.
Right? Well,
you,
and the other part is,
here soon.
in Coin 6 now does their news in widescreen. Except Jeff Gino isn't wide enough in analog. Who needs to see him wider on high-definition TV?
Seriously,
I mean, if you're already wide and bald, how much wider and balder do you need to see someone and spend $3,000 extra?
Fantastic.
And I'm sure the woman who also is a co-anchor wants to be known as being seen in a wide, wide screen.
The camera now adds 40 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you. That's Sid. All right. Well, I mean, fair. You know, to each his own. You know, whatever. It doesn't really seem like, I don't really see the pressing need to, own that at this particular time.
To see people wider.
Well, really, and it's like, what are they showing on television that I really need to see in high definition? I mean, it's not like, again, I talk about Cinetopia. Cinetopia, that's like a 500-foot screen, though. There's a difference. And when you go to see that, by the way, that is like, for example, when I went to see Zodiac at Cinetopia, not only is it a massive screen with a huge sound system, like way better than anything I could ever have in my house, but it's also you're watching a movie that was filmed and edited entirely digitally, which is not the case. Like, you know, what do I really do good with it? I'm watching a Hogan's Heroes rerun, but I need to have it in Dolby 5.1 surround sound. It's really not necessary. And don't even get me started, and please don't call about this. I beg of you. I'm going to mention this. Please don't call. And really, I'm going to take this one step further. Don't call and don't email me about this. Don't email me because it's confusing and I don't really care that much, except to say that I don't know what a Blu-ray DVD is. I don't know what a Blu-ray DVD is. I don't know what an HD DVD is. I don't know if they're the same thing. I don't know if they're different. I know this makes me a bad geek, and it makes me a bad nerd, but I don't understand if they're the same. I don't understand if they're different. I don't know what they... What does a Blu-ray DVD do that my normal DVD doesn't do? Do you remember when DVDs came out? And I mean, sound like an old person, but do you remember when DVDs came out? And they said, this is fantastic. This DVD, it is a digital video disc. It is digital quality. It is flawless. You no longer have any of the poor picture artifacting that you had with VHS tapes. DVD is the state of the... It is the best you could ever possibly hope to... Except now, of course, that's been exposed as a lie, like it always is with every consumer product. Like when they were trying to get me to buy video discs back in 1985. So, you know, when consumers are confused, they sort of do nothing. So I'm just going to sort of wait about 10 years for this all to shake itself out, and then I'll deal with it then. Are we breaking? Hey, we're breaking. 503-7-something. 503-733-2970. Star Jones has a huge head. When did that happen? Somebody sent me this picture of Star Jones. They reduced the rest of her body, but they forgot to do anything about her head. It's huge. How could she even stand? Well, all right. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. You know they're all the same. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, this email says, sorry to bug you again. Are you still interested in a skull? It's time to give George, I guess that's the name of the skull, a home. You are interested, I need an address. I'm pretty sure, isn't that right, Donkey? David, I'm pretty sure I already told this guy I wanted the skull. Yes.
Obviously you didn't.
We want the skull. I think this might be a human skull. 20, oh, don't act all horrified. 2040 Southwest 1st. Thank you, Rick. All right, so there you go. 503-733-2970 is Rick Emerson Radio Program. Coming up later on, CNN Radio correspondent James Roop, as well as Scott Daly from FilmPeopleRadio.com, who's going to be reviewing, among other things, the new film 300. This is Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, the president is optimistic about the diplomatic conference that Iraq is hosting over the weekend. Speaking from Brazil, because it's so close to Iraq, the president is delivering a message to Iraq's troublesome neighbors, Iran and Syria.
We expect you to help this young democracy, and we will defend ourselves and the people in Iraq from the
bombing of their weddings,
from weapons being shipped in to cause harm.
He can't remember what we're doing there. Let's do that again.
We're shipping the weapons in, and we're harming people with them. We're the ones
we're selling them at bargain
basis. We expect you to help this young democracy.
Who's he talking to?
And we will
Iran
defend
and
ourselves
in Brazil,
the people in Iraq.
All right.
From weapons being sent to cause harm.
Stuff. All right. They're big grains of salt in my glass. Big grains of salt. All right. Why is he talking to Siri? What, are they all just hanging at a resort or something there? Are they're investigating an exciting timeshare or whatever? Is Brazil, Scotty is saying Brazil burned him an effigy or a foogie, as he spells it. Brazil, apparently, I don't want to be burned in a foogie. What a terrible fate. All right. Being burned in a foogie sounds like you've been, sounds like what they do to you in Osaka. All right. Let's get this. Eric, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, I was going to comment about Cinetopia. I went there for 300 last night.
Okay.
And I might as well have been in there with 2-year-olds. They were throwing the pillows around. It was my first bad experience there last night.
Now, were you, and again, I should note that I in no way do I receive anything from Cinetopia. I simply mention it because it's a great place.
No, I agree. I live 2 blocks away from it.
So you weren't in the living room. You were in one of just the general admission theaters.
No, we were in the living room with the pillow pit, and there's a bunch of 21-year-old drunk people.
I'm wondering now, have I ever actually been in the living room? I don't remember a pillow pit.
It's the one where you get the footrests.
Okay, yeah, I've been in there. I guess I just know. Is it down front by the screen?
Yeah, they went down there and they were throwing pillows up to their friends, and I was just like, this is classy.
Oh, man, you should have gone down. Well, you know, but were you there for the midnight premiere?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were probably all, hey, let's get our first beer and go to the living room. You should have gone down there and just given them a good punching.
Well, I wanted to, but I was, with people that might have looked down on that.
Don't you suspect most of the time, though, that when you, here's the thing, I was at Zodiac last week, and it wasn't a loud crowd, but I was next to the laugher, and if you've ever been to a theater, you're sitting there and you're watching the movie, and you're next to the laugher, and the laugher is one of those idiot guys who doesn't really know how to react to sort of intense or scary films, and so his response is just to giggle at everything.
Right.
And so there's, some guy being knifed on the face on the screen, and so the giggler just starts to, chuckle next to me. And I really realized at some point, I could probably have gone over and just set fire to him, and most of the people in the audience, they would have alibi for me.
Yeah, they would have said that I didn't see Rick do anything.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
He sat there peacefully the whole time. That guy was on fire when he came in.
Internal combustion.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, I'm sorry you had a bad experience there. You should continue to patronize it, though.
300, though, was excellent.
Really? It was good?
I can't believe you don't want
to
see it.
I'm not trying to be cynical about it. I hope it's good.
Did you like Sin City?
I did.
That's what it looked to me. It looked like a great Sin City kind of.
It was much better than Sin City.
No, come on. Get out.
Sin City was like a compilation of a bunch of stories. This was one good story, and the graphics were
so
awesome. Better than Matrix.
Is the CGI, though, does it look just too cartoony?
No, not at all. It's like a lot of slow-mo, stop-mo when they're fighting and killing guys, and it's awesome.
All right. Well, I'll go see it this
weekend. Absolutely spectacular.
Well, okay. My wife's gone this weekend, and she doesn't want to go see that anyway.
Don't take it from your wife. It's a guy movie.
All right. Excellent. Screw her. All right.
She has bad reviews.
All right. So. Thank you, sir.
We'll talk to you later.
All right, there you go. That's Eric. Tim Riley loves Sin City more than anything. More than cats. He wants to see it again and again. He especially likes the part when Tobey Maguire was having his legs eaten.
You always say Tobey Maguire. It's Elijah Wood.
Why do you bother to see? Nobody would know that if you would just let me just glance over that.
Everyone would know, because you know what? Then you'd have a phone call. Some poor guy would be waiting for 45 minutes on the phone just to tell you.
You know, that was Elijah Wood.
I saw a movie last night where a woman got her arms chopped off by an elevator, and it totally reminded me of that.
What movie?
It was called The Nun.
How many arms do you have? None.
I was over at Kiki's. We have a girls' night, and she gets the on-demand movie, so we pick a random FearNet movie every week.
FearNet.
And so last night we picked The Nun, who, it was the ghost of a nun who would come and attack all these girls out of the water. It was the most ridiculous.
Is it terrible?
Thing. It was right. Terribly wonderful.
All right.
That is all.
All right. She mentioned me?
Yes.
Okay. Here's Tim Riley.
Wow, here's some long forgotten thing. The nation's terror threat level is at yellow. Elevated.
I didn't know we still did that anymore.
Apparently so. Somebody wrote this story up for some reason. There are 5 color threat conditions, each identified by a prescription and corresponding color.
Let me see if I can remember them.
Most severe is...
I'm going to go... Okay, most severe is red, which means we're about to die, so everyone should begin reading about the goat.
Then high,
which is orange.
Yep.
Elevated.
Yellow.
Guarded.
Oh, we're guarded.
Okay, so elevated is yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Guarded is...
It's primary color.
Blue.
Right.
Low.
Green.
Right. Bam, look at me. I can run the Department of Homeland Security. Bitches, in your face. I can talk. I bet I'm the only person who could have gotten that right. Because it's the sort of, no, it's the sort of pointless, useless minutia that I remember. Because it's completely useless, I remember it flawlessly. CPR, couldn't do it if my life depended on it. That which has absolutely no real-world practical application, that's the kind of stuff I remember. All right, let's hear it for me. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, Van Halen guitarist Eddie Van Halen has announced he has checked into rehab.
There ought to be a vampire guitar player called Eddie Van Helsing.
Mm-hmm. In a statement issued by the band's official website, Van Halen said, quote, I would like Van Halen fans to know I truly appreciate each and
every one of you.
I have always
had
the responsibility to give you the best.
At the moment,
I do not feel
I
can give you the best. That's why I have decided to enter a rehabilitation facility to work on myself so that in the future I can deliver 110%, and I feel I owe that to you, and I give that to you.
I managed to make it through that. Because he's missing his tongue.
Bring me the tongue.
Never mind. I'm sorry. He looks terrible. Have you seen the photograph of him?
No.
He looks awful. Awful, awful. And, I mean, you can pull that off when you're like, I mean, like, Scotty's having a scream. What the hell? It's because Eddie Van Halen only has half a tongue. He used to have his whole tongue.
Oh.
He doesn't. Yeah, see, that's the picture of him. He looked bad. Eddie Van Halen dead long time.
He looks like Margot Kidder.
Who's holding you? Keith Richards can pull off the elegantly wasted thing. Eddie Van Halen, not so much. He doesn't have his whole tongue. He's missing a big chunk of it because
what happened to his tongue?
He had tongue cancer. He had a huge tumor in his tongue. Tumor. He had a huge tongue thing, and then they removed it. I know this because my friend Jesse went to see Halen the last time they came to town, and he said the worst, and by worst I mean most hilarious, moment. And I can make fun of Eddie Van Halen because he's been a dick. He's been a dick for a long time. And he's just squandered the goodwill that fans have for that band. So I have no problem taking the test. But he, they would finish some song like, wah, 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 and then the song ends, and then Eddie Van Halen would step to the mic and go,
"Thank you, no man,"
and
for another
end. And then he would go back and start playing guitar again. And he's been in rehab like 50 times, and he's had his hips replaced. And, I mean, he really is dead. I'm pretty sure that he's dead. He just doesn't know it. And so there you go. So if you want to see the worst ever picture of Eddie Van Halen, go to ringamerson.com and look at that picture today from the VH1 thing. I don't know if he's actually been inducted into the Hall of Fame or not. I think that might be coming. I think that's happening next week. So, yeah, go... Oh, look at that. Joshua, hello, sir.
Yes, sir. Green is not a primary color.
Oh. Sorry.
And that wasn't 40 minutes.
What? Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Take that, Luke.
All right. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks so much. No, green is made of yellow and blue. That is correct. What?
You're so ridiculous.
Why? Because I know. Because I know how to make colors. Yellow and blue make green.
I know. Everyone knows.
Well, we thought green was a primary color
we
up until
not,
like 10
there's
seconds.
There's no we. Blue was a primary color.
Here's Tim Riley.
I've been told I can read this.
I'm going to stop now. I'm done.
Ready?
For what?
I've been told I can read this.
What?
The Portland Masturbate-a-thon is scheduled for May 19th.
What?
The Portland Masturbate-a-thon is scheduled for May 19th.
Apply directly to forehead.
Dark Lady, whoever she is, Dark Lady's 6th annual Portland Masturbate-a-thon, a fundraiser and celebration of self-love, is scheduled for May 19th from 7 p.m. to 2 a.m. Attendees are encouraged to donate...
From when to when?
7 p.m. to 2 a.m.
That's a lot of chafing. You need some sort of a...
People are going to be wheeled out of there in wheelchairs. Attendees are encouraged to donate goods.
donate good what?
Along with the admission fee, and all proceeds will benefit nonprofit organizations.
An admission fee? Why pay for something that you can get for free at home?
Dark Lady's laboratory of top secret sex machines will feature an array of sex toys.
You are blowing my mind.
The Thrill Hammer, Monkey Rocker, and Sex Kitten for attendees to test out. Dark Lady said a brand new sex machine will make its virgin voyage that night.
I don't understand. A sex machine like James Brown was a sex machine?
I don't know.
Or a sex machine like, whoa, get this off me!
The event will feature a silent auction, party games, at S&M Play Space that dark ladies say make her parties famous. The Masturbate-a-thon's opening ritual is scheduled for 9 p.m.
The opening what?
Opening ritual.
Which is what?
I have no idea.
You know.
Guess who donate dry goods, hygiene products, and pet supplies get a tent for $20.
Donate dry goods?
Those who don't pay, those who don't donate will have to pay a $25 admission fee. And you must be 21 years of age or older, and RSVPs are absolutely required.
Dry goods.
Mm-hmm. Fans of the event can purchase mat shirts, mugs, and other themed items online at Masturbate-a-thon Cafe Press Shop. To RSVP, email darklady at darklady.com.
Is she a superhero or something?
I don't know. Is she? I'm not sure if she's white or an African-American woman.
Dark Lady.
All right.
This I'm familiar with her.
The AM 970 Noon News Hour. Tim Riley, who's the news director, reading this now in the public interest, convenience, and necessity.
So she wears glasses from the early 90s.
That's totally it.
And she has a haircut like Mo Howard.
And her face is kind of cropped, so you know she might be a little...
How can I possibly turn this down? It sounds like
Dark Lady. Yeah.
It sounds like the social event of the season.
Dark Lady parties.
Okay.
So Dark Lady parties. Apparently that's how she parties.
She doesn't have any pictures. That's so strange.
That's how she rolls.
So okay. It doesn't say whether or not this is a co-ed event. And if there'll be a separation of the sexes who attend.
How can... never mind. Where is this happening?
Where is this happening?
This is, we are trying to be relatable to Portland, as we discuss the Masturbate-a-thon.
It doesn't say. Well, I guess they just don't want people showing up.
Well, that was my whole plan.
Oh, you have to RSVP and then they tell you?
I guess so.
Well, what if I do that and it ends up just being in some creepy guy's basement? Some guy's creepy visqueen-covered rec room. All right.
Dark Lady, that's just a weird name.
I think I know who she is, actually.
Is that her first name or last name?
I am...
No, I don't think she's a listener, but I do. She is sort of a Portland fixture. If it's the same, are you of the Chippewa Falls, Dark Ladies? If I recall correctly, she is kind of a Portland fixture. I think she's run for office a couple times here.
She's like that weird guy with a mask and the high voices on television.
No, that you're thinking of V for Vendetta. I don't know. I don't know what you're thinking of. You're not Jim Spag.
No, that
was that the dead guy.
No, the guy that hosts that talk show on cable.
Tim Savage?
No. No, Tim Savage is funny.
I don't know what we're talking about anymore.
The guy that wears the mask on his face and talks in the high voice and does a talk show.
Oh, the famous mysterious actor.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Okay.
I mean, I guess it could be her. He could be her for all I know. Anywho, Dark Lady, I think she's
I
run...
I just found a picture of her.
I think she's run for office a couple times.
That'd be nice.
Sometimes you can just see the snippet forming.
I know.
Something you'd like to say, Tim?
We shouldn't have pointed out because...
No.
Would you like to make any observations about her?
Well, she must be quite successful at what she does to reach the position that she's in, whatever that might be.
Okay.
Whatever it takes to move up locally in that direction.
Anyway... she is, I believe, most notable. I think she's run for office a few times, and I think she's a weird sort of political activist. Not weird, but I mean, I think she does some sort of non-traditional political activism, as you can see here.
Well, this is Portland. Who does anything traditional?
That's right. And I think she writes porn also. I'm pretty sure she writes porn.
That's turned into movies, or
I don't know.
Put into books.
I honestly, I don't know the answer to that.
If that's her day job.
I guess some kind of job.
All right, then.
We should move forward and not discuss the Masturbate-a-thon anymore.
All right, well, let's talk about Rosie O'Donnell, then.
Oh, please, let's go back and talk about Dark Lady some more.
All right. If you can visualize that.
Okay.
She is opening up about her...
look!
About her battle with depression.
Oh, I thought you meant something else.
She said she realized that she had what she has after the
can you see my kidneys?
I felt as if it was happening to me. And I knew it wasn't happening to me, and those were not my children, but it felt as if it was. I couldn't stop crying. I couldn't stop crying during the show, not on the show. I stayed in my room. The lights were off. I couldn't get out of bed.
Why didn't you just do everybody a favor and just sort of continue that? Now, she has children, but she didn't have children, did she?
No, I don't know.
She didn't shove children out of
her. I think her partner did.
Well, you can't have postpartum depression if you didn't have the goddamn... Shut your whole attention, whore. Siri, just shut your goddamn mouth.
Oh, this is plain old depression.
It's
garden variety depression.
Seriously, shut your head and put the cake down. You can't have postpartum depression if you didn't have baby. That's like Scotty having postpartum depression. You're not allowed to have postpartum depression if you didn't shove the children out of your own body. Otherwise, you're just being a goddamned moping whiner. So just cheer up and shut the hell up. Good God Almighty. Only my sweet forbidden love for Marie Osmond. She's the only one allowed to have postpartum depression. Everybody else is a whiner. Rosie O'Donnell has kids, but I thought her partner had them. I don't believe that she herself. Does anybody remember? See, I know that I open myself up to all kinds of snarky responses here, but does anybody remember seeing Rosie O'Donnell pregnant, Tim?
No.
That just doesn't seem physically possible. Does it?
How do you mean?
I just can't picture her having a womb.
Oh, there's a womb in there somewhere.
There's no womb for a baby.
There's
just no womb in here.
It is still the lunch hour.
A lot of people are ashamed that they have it. Well, you wouldn't be ashamed if you were anemic.
No.
You wouldn't be
ashamed. Diabetes.
Yeah, you wouldn't be ashamed. Correct.
Right.
But this is a disease, and it needs to be treated like a disease, and it affects millions of women.
Shut your head.
Hundreds of millions.
Hundreds of millions. It affects Wade Boggs. let's see here. Oh, somebody had Dark Lady. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, Mike.
I missed your comment about Dark Lady, for one, but I know who she is.
I think I met her at something or other years ago, but I can't remember what.
Yeah, she's a portly lady.
She's
in the B&B and S&M, and
she's a Portland lady?
Portly.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if I can say it on the air or not, but she holds the...
Hold on. Here's the thing. Now, you know the ritual. If you're not sure you can say this on the air, I'm going to give you 10 seconds to ponder it, okay? Hold on for a second. I'm going to give you 10 seconds to think about this, and then you can decide whether you are going to make this comment. All right, there you go. All right, Mike, have you decided whether you should say this or not?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Every year, and I don't know for a fact anymore because it's been a few years since I've gone, but she had the Flogging the Bishop-a-thon.
Yes.
Every year. It was interesting.
Yes, this is the self-love marathon. Yeah, we were just mentioning that, yes.
Yeah.
And so,
that was
an
interesting thing that she used to have in a old church.
Now, really?
Yeah, over in North Portland.
Now I almost want to go now. We should send Scotty. I'm trying to remember where it is that I've met her. I do remember meeting her at some point, but I don't remember what I was doing or where I was.
Yeah, I've met her a couple of times at different events that were adult-oriented.
Yes. All right. Oh. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, bud.
All right, there you go. Scotty's really funny, Scotty. I'd only be there 2 minutes. Ha, ha, he says. How sad. It's fine.
He is so hungover today.
He's hosed. Scotty is absolutely like green around the gills today. Let's do a couple more, and then we'll do some more news, then we'll break. Jeff, hello, sir. Hi, Jeff, hello. Jeff, the language of Jeff.
All right, fine.
Jim.
Hang up and then dial your operator.
Well, okay. Let's... Well, that doesn't really work. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Oh, no.
What does that even mean?
I painstakingly cut and pasted a story I've been working on it for several minutes, and it's vanished. And the worst part about it is I can't remember one sentence in it. So now I'm just sitting here looking at a blank blue screen. I waited and waited and waited to do this story.
The best part.
It had more relevance than anything else we were doing today.
The best part.
And now I can't remember what it was about.
The best part was you're really forlorn sending, oh no.
Well, it happens a lot here, but I'm never vocal about it. This one's the exception. That happens a lot in this corner throughout the course of the day. I'm just quiet about it.
You don't remember what it was about?
I think it was something about Elizabeth Hurley. And I was waiting for the perfect
story.
I was waiting for the perfect moment in which to read it.
That moment is now. Go.
It's gone. Well, as a suitable replacement, let's talk about Selma Hayek, who is engaged and expecting a baby.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Right. I try so hard to perfect this hour.
Oh, good God.
I mean, sometimes it's an hour and a half of prep to do something about 20 seconds. This is one of those occasions.
It's just gone.
It's gone.
How could the most relevant story of the day have been about Elizabeth Hurley?
Well, because it
you was, don't remember.
It was relevant and humorous. And the shock of it all has made me forget everything in it. I was all set already. I looked up and it was gone.
Oh, somebody, by the way, has clarified. Rosie adopted the first three kids and her partner had the fourth. Rosie herself has never had any children, so she should shut her... That's not the email. That's not the listeners. That's me. So she should shut her fat head about it. That's what she should do. She should be silent forevermore. All right, let's talk about Selma Hayek.
Well, next up for Selma Hayek is a wedding and then a baby carriage. The 40-year-old actress is engaged to French businessman François Impedeux and is pregnant with their first child. The Mexican-born Hyatt has starred in films such as Frida.
And Look at My Boobs.
Spy Kids 3D Game Over and After the Sunset. She's one of the exclusive producers of ABC's Ugly Betty, in which she recently guest starred as the Two Face magazine editor. Penu is a chairman and chief executive officer of the luxury good company PPRSA, or Papasa, which owns high-end labels such as Gucci, Hive St. Laurent, Balenciaga, and Stella McCartney.
Hive St. Laurent is a rash that you get from upscale clothing.
Hyatt received an Oscar nomination for her role in 2002's Frida.
So, kids, this is why you want to study, stay in school, work hard, and get a weekend job so that you can become wealthy. And even if you are this pale, hideous-looking Frenchman, you can stick it to Selma Hayek, who now is pregnant. Why do they got to? Why do men have to do that? Why, you men? Why do you have to impregnate and ruin women like that? Why? Whatever happened to just keeping her under lock and key and not impregnating her? And he's keeping her perfect. Don't let her into the sun. Don't let her near anything sharp or anything that... Don't just make sure that she just stays flawless and relatively undamaged. Why do you immediately have to get a hot woman and then impregnate her, thus ruining her forever? You know who else is goddamn pregnant that was flawless, that was perfect, now ruined? You know what I sound like? I sound like that Waltz guy in The Godfather. She was beautiful. She was perfect. She was the greatest piece of ass I've ever had, and I had him all over the world. Godfather fans out there know that I'm right. You know who else was perfect, though, and is now pregnant, and therefore... Because, you know, how can I put this? It's like having a flood destroy your basement. It's just that basement's never the same. Do you know what I mean? And I think you know what I mean. Sarah, do you know what I mean?
No.
You know what I'm talking about. It's like...
I know that things just don't all, you know...
It's not made of silly putty.
Exactly. Things just don't snap back.
I was going to say, it's not elastic. It doesn't just go back into... It's not a Stretch Armstrong. It doesn't just go back into place. No, you know
who?
Perfect Charlotte Church. You know the singer, Charlotte Church?
Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Who else I heard might be pregnant?
Is it somebody that I love?
Yes.
I'm not going to say what I almost said, by the way. Go ahead. Who?
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Well, I don't find her all that attractive.
I thought you did.
Well, here's the thing. I love Buffy Summers. I love the character of Buffy. And, you know, and people can make all the fun of me they want. I'm a big Buffy fan. Sarah Michelle Gellar is really pretty. Is really cute. But she's way too skinny for me to consider her hot. You know what I mean? In other words, prettiness, she's got a very pretty face. And I know that sounds like a backhanded insult. No, it sounds like an insult, but I don't mean it. She's got a very, very pretty face. She's got very pretty features. She's such a stick, though. If I can see your rib cage, you're no longer anybody I want to have sex with. If I can see your sternum, if I can see like your chest bone, I'm not interested in seeing anything else on you. So if she put on like 20 pounds, she'd be hot. As it is now, she's merely pretty. Charlotte Church was nearly flawless, and she's only 21. Now that's just going to be a ruin forever. Kiss your life and everything else that's good about you. Goodbye.
I like Charlotte Church. She seems like a troublemaker.
She does. She does. She did a command performance for the Pope. All right. Well, in any event. Did you ever recover the Liz Hurley story?
I've given up.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
Well, no, Friday is the day to give up. If you haven't accomplished it by now, it's just not going to happen. Let it go and begin again next week.
Just move on. Rick, will you please quit playing that stupid synthesizer song? It makes me want to pull out my own teeth. Doesn't seem likely, does it, sir? It's 503-733-2970. Let's see. Well, we've got all of this. This last 15 minutes of this program have become decidedly disturbing. We should break. We'll come back with, what are we doing? Jim Roop. Get out of Jim Roop. We'll do Jim Roop when we come back. More for the Ministry of Truth. This phone call later on Top 5, Scott Daly, and all of that. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program.